and we're here today to finish up House Bill 5024, which is the Division of State Lands budget. We will begin in the public hearing mode, where we will have Mr. Rocco review previous subcommittee action and answer questions on that, and then give us the revised LFO recommendation for the bill. Mr. Rocco.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, I've passed out to you a packet of information that includes the revised recommendation from Legislative Fiscal. As you will recall, except for Representative Lowe, who wasn't here at that time back in February, the Natural Resource Subcommittee reviewed the budget of the Division of State Lands. We had 4 days of public hearings where the division discussed their budget with the subcommittee. And on the last of those days, February 16th, we went over the recommendation by Legislative Fiscal on the budget. Based on the results that come, the deliberations of the committee during that day, and some follow-up information from the agency, we have developed a revised recommendation, which is before you today. In order to, since the time between our first discussion of this budget and today has been a couple of months, I've tried to, in the memo that I've provided you, highlight areas where there has been changes. So anything that you see that is shaded in the memo represents a change, and we can go over those changes when we get into it. I've also provided you with a revised spreadsheet, which looks like this, and goes along with the attached memo. There are a couple other handouts that have been provided. There is a copy of the reclassification issue memo that was provided to you Monday when you discussed the Marine Board. This is the same information that was provided to you on Monday, except we've just put the material directly related to the Division of State Lands in this packet. There is also a two-page narrative for a revised program option package 107, which is related to the unclaimed property program. And this is what was alluded to the other day when the committee discussed House Bill 2129, which is a proposal of how to accommodate that fiscal impact into the division's budget. And then finally is a hand-engrossed House Bill 5024, which is based on the current revised LFO recommendations and any changes that the subcommittee makes to that recommendation will be adjusted on this hand-engrossed memo bill. So with that, Madam Chair, I think we could proceed to review this the new recommendations.
Are there any questions or comments from the committee members on the overview? Let's go ahead and proceed to LFO's recommendation.
Madam Chair, the first page just has some re-review of the governor's recommended budget. There's no changes there since the governor's budget has not changed since our earlier meeting. On the second page is just another narrative discussion of the changes LFO recommends. I think if we get started on the page 3 of the memo, which is the Common School Fund programs, these are the individual package decisions. If you want to go along with the spreadsheet and the memo, if you turn to page 6 of the spreadsheet, this is the Common School Fund program unit of the Division of State Lands, broken down into the memo, that's broken down by the memo. Item 1A was discussed earlier. This is the PERS employer contribution rate decrease, which on the memo you can see right about the middle of the page, where it's a reduction of $13,802 other funds. Item 1B on page 3 of the memo is the central package adjustment that reduces $42,128 of other funds from due to the services and supplies costs related to two limited duration positions that were removed in the budget, but the SNS, the associated SNS costs were not removed. And that item you can see on page 7 of the spreadsheet under essential package 020. Item 1C is an adjustment to essential package 030, which is an inflation and price list adjustment package. We had discussed all of these changes except for the highlighted change, which is between the time we had talked previously and today, there has been another adjustment, assessment adjustment made, and this is for the Secretary of State Audits Division. And this is an adjustment that's being taken out of all agency budgets, which would increase the previous, it would increase the previous decrease by an additional $2,621. So the net reduction in essential package 030 is $48,507.
Are there any questions on this change? Please proceed.
Item 1D is package 101, which is a policy package in the agency's budget. This one was discussed earlier, and the LFO's recommendation was that the two positions in the package be approved as limited duration, and we made a PERS reduction for those positions. That you can see that on page 7 of the spreadsheet under policy package 101. These are auditor positions. And as you can see in the comments there, that the direction in the budget report is going to reflect, if these are approved, to reflect that the agency continue monitoring the performance of the program in producing revenue for the Common School Fund. And if you recall, they had data that shows how these positions have generated revenue in the past 2 years, and they anticipate that to continue in the future. Package 103 is item 1E on page 3 of the memo, and this is the reclassification package that was earlier recommended for denial pending review by the Department of Administrative Services. After we received the additional information from the department that was shared with you on Monday and is included in the attachment on the reclassification issues that I provided you again with today, LFO's recommendation is to deny the funding for the reclassifications of the director and three assistant director positions, and this is due to the request that the Department of Administrative Services conduct a review and evaluation of all agency head, deputy, and assistant director positions in state government. And that was discussed with you on Monday with the Marine Board. And we're trying to follow through with that same policy in this package. Further, based on the review that was done by Budget Management and Human Resources Services Division of DAS, we're recommending that the other positions in the reclass package be approved. Most of these, there are three lower level manager positions, but most of them are line staff, and they went through a review process, the current existing review process, and were recommended for approval by DAS. The net result of this would be a reduction in the package of $45,669, which you can see on page 7 of the spreadsheet under policy package 103. The cost of reclassing the other positions in that package is reflected in the the column under the LFO recommended budget, it would cost about approximately $49,388 for those three classes. In addition, we're recommending that a budget note be included explaining, and there, you can see it on the bottom of page 3, to explaining why this action is being recommended by the subcommittee.
Are there any questions or comments on the reclassification issue? Senator Dukes.
Well, I just, Madam Chair, want to commend staff for putting what we've been talking about down on paper. And I think that the method for reclassing has been very confusing. Every time we ask questions, it's different with a different agency. And I hope they can come up with a standardized system so that, there's something you can get your hands around when you go to ask for a reclass or ask questions about one. And hopefully then they will figure out how to have that system in sync with the legislative budget process.
Your cold sounds like it's getting worse.
I feel better, so
that's
yeah.
A good sign. They, well, and I think that that one of the things that the committee can consider to be a huge accomplishment this session is opening this issue up and having it aired in the LFO office and before the full Ways and Means Committee by the co-chairs. And I think that it is to the credit of Representative Nolan and the other members of the committee that brought this issue forward and caused bright lights to be shone on it, because it seems that every time we got more information from DAS concerning the reclasses, the issue just became more and more confusing and harder to follow the logic of it. So I think that trying to come to some kind of government-wide policy that's defensible and makes sense will strengthen the fiscal responsibility across all the agencies. So is there any other discussion on this reclassification or what LFO's recommendation is? Let's continue on then.
On page 4 of the memo, item F is package 105. This package was discussed considerably the last time the committee met on this issue. There was LFO recommended approval of the natural resource coordinator position, which is a natural resource specialist 3, and this would be for additional leasing development, primarily on waterway leasing. There was a budget note that was recommended to be included with this position, and you can see where the committee addressed adding some language to that budget note, and it's shaded in the text to include to the appropriate interim policy committee, referring to a report that should be made on the ability of this position to address the increases in waterway and sand and gravel leases. Because there are three other positions in that package which LFO is recommending that not be approved, the net reduction to the package is $270,615 and 3 FTE. And those figures can be seen in the spreadsheet on page 7 under policy package 105.
Questions or comments on the addition to the budget note? Let's go ahead.
Item G on page 4, package 106. This is a non-regulatory wetland specialist position. LFO earlier recommended denial of the position and the funding for the position, but including a limitation increase of $125,000. This represents half of a grant that the division received from the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board in the current biennium, but were unable to expend, and the grant, they still have the grant money, they just need this expenditure limitation for the 2001-03 biennium. We've added some language recommended to the budget report to direct the agency to go out and try to find federal funds for this position. And if they're successful in doing that, they can come to the emergency board for approval and expenditure limitation increase.
Discussion on the budget report that's been added to this item. Let's proceed.
Package item H at the bottom of page 4, package 107. This is the package that has been discussed in conjunction with House Bill 2129. If you recall, that bill that came before you on Tuesday, I believe, had a fiscal impact of approximately $100,000. Earlier, LFO had recommended denial of an office specialist 2 position in package 107. This position had a cost of approximately $81,000 other funds. We had recommended denial of that. And there was discussion in the subcommittee at that time that perhaps this position was necessary to help the unclaimed properties claims program, including the 2 auditors that were recommended for approval in another package. Based on the actions of based on some conversations that Legislative Fiscal had with the Division of State Lands, the division came up with a proposal to revise Package 107 to accommodate both the needs of the data processing within the Unclaimed Property Program and the effects of House Bill 2129. And those are, you can see details of those reflected in this handout that we provided you, which is the narrative for revised program option package 107. Basically, the division has proposed, and LFO recommends approving the addition of an administrative specialist 2 position at a cost of a total cost of $99,557 common school fund revenues. The net difference is $18,850 above the governor's recommended budget, and with this addition, the agency would be able to accommodate the effects of House Bill 2129, the anticipated effects. And we've also included recommendation that the budget report language reflect that at some point in the future, when they know how many additional claims will come in the door because of House Bill 2129, that they always have the option of going to the emergency board to discuss their workload issues at that time. So those changes would result in an increase. It would result in the same number of positions as recommended in the governor's package for this program, a different classification of the position, and a slightly higher cost. And you can see that on page 8 of the spreadsheet at the top under package 107.
Questions or comments on the addition of the position and the addition of almost $19,000 in other funds? Senator
Ferriola. Ma'am, thank you, Madam Chairman. The package 105 is one that's interesting to me. And the issue that I think makes it so important is that having rangeland management and having a direct connection with the rangeland operators and the folks that are the permittees is absolutely critically important to the success of any management program, long-term or short-term. It is something that you cannot just detail people to do on a one-time basis, because there's a long-term relationship required between the permittees and the agency. We've seen time and time again how a rapid rotation through range management positions in the Forest Service and the BLM have destroyed years of cooperative management and have created relationships that are more adversarial than cooperative. I thought that Package 105 would really assist the agency in getting control of that relationship and fostering those long-term commitments, and essentially help about 100 and how many families to achieve their goals of sustainability. 144 lessees achieve their goals of sustainability, help the department manage its weed and fire fuel loading objectives, but also put the state in a position of being a model for other rangeland managers on the east side. Could be in comparison with BLM, Forest Service, and other private lands. So I was anxious to see if we couldn't approve the whole package, a compromise, and I understand a compromise was offered that would include a part-time rangeland manager and another position that would have been joined with this to make one full-time FTE on a limited duration basis. I'm curious to know why that compromise wasn't acceptable to the department. I'd like to hear that for the record.
Mr. Rocco, could you help us out with this?
Madam Chair, Senator Farrelly, I believe the discussions that LFO had with the division indicated that they would like to see the position that was being recommended be permanent rather than limited duration. The recommendation that we have is that it be limited duration so that they can demonstrate to the next assembly that that position was effective in generating additional revenues for the Common School Fund through processing waterway and sand and gravel leases. Making the position permanent, the division explained that they could perhaps shift duties around within the program in order to accommodate some of the rangeland issues that you've alluded to. So the legislative fiscal's position was that making it permanent would deny that ability to have them return with a review of their effectiveness. So at this point, we've recommended a limited duration position rather than permanent. But you may want to have the division come up and answer any further questions that you have.
If the chair would indulge me, I'd like to know why.
If we could have the director come forward and talk to us about this issue.
It's going to be out in my district.
Can I ask also Steve Purchase to join me? As we understand, package 105 would be approval for the natural resource coordinator position, the NRS3, and that would be aimed at waterway leases and trying to bring people into compliance that way. And that would also was the one that we had provided information about, that it would more than pay for itself over the next 2 years, and we would track that information. We're also hoping that we could have an additional position that we could have stationed in eastern Oregon, in Bend, that would focus on the rangeland health. The waterway leases, most of those are in western Oregon, so it would be really hard to split a person between all of the rangeland issues in eastern Oregon, and then still have that position devoted to providing assistance on waterway leases. Steve, do you want to add to that?
Ms. Chair and members of the committee, Steve Purchase, Assistant Director of the Division of State Lands. Ann is absolutely right. The knowledge, skills, and abilities for a waterway leasing real estate person and a person to go to the Bend office and help us with our rangeland programs are very much different. In order to be able to conduct those activities on the rangelands, we need a rangeland specialist. We need somebody who can focus specifically on the issues that we need to address. And a NRS3 waterway leasing real estate person would not have that knowledge, skill, and ability that would be able to offset what we need. So our position was that if we could get somebody permanent, and then if due to a vacancy or some other means, and looking at workload, we could send someone to Bend as a range specialist.
I find the agency's position on this matter to be rather troubling, especially since the discussions that we had on the issue in LFO centered around splitting the waterway leasing position into two part-time positions, and at that point, my understanding was that that was a viable alternative to the agency if the position, the one whole position, was made into a full a position that continues in the budget.
I guess I didn't understand that you were thinking of two half-time positions.
I think if that's what the committee was interested in, I did not follow that up with the division. The conversations we had with the division was, as Mr. Purchase just said, that if this position that's being recommended as limited duration would be made permanent, they would try to do internal management activities to shift people around in order to try to cover the rangeland issues, but not specifically with half of this position because of the distance and the different skills and knowledge that you need for those two different areas of this program.
Senator.
Madam Chairman, I have to agree with Mr. Purchase in a number of facts that he's stated for the record, but I disagree with the conclusions all the way around. You're not going to find a water releasing specialist who's also a range con. They don't make them. I mean, I agree with that. But, and secondly, Bend isn't Eastern Oregon, so let's get that on the record. If you're going to send somebody over to Eastern Oregon, you better send them to Eastern Oregon, where that land is, not Bend. But the fact of the matter is the idea that you find a person similarly qualified for waterway leasing and range management is absurd. You're not going to do that. And the idea that you wouldn't automatically assume that a half-time limited duration position is just that. Waterway leasing, I don't know if it has to be a year-round opportunity. Time the leases to expire in a six-month period and run that person around, and then when that job's done, that position goes away. And the range cons just generally don't do very much from October through January up in the rangeland, because you can't get there from here unless you got studded tires, because you're going to find most of that ground.
Yeah, but we're doing away with those, right, Senator?
Comes to my committee. So I guess I would just assume that the people would look at this and say, we got two very vastly different positions in disparate parts of the state that are available in a half-time limited duration position. And that seems like a pretty good compromise to me. So, I don't know. I'm amazed that folks didn't realize that what you were offering, Madam Chairman, was an opportunity to open the venue on a walk before you run kind of a basis and go with a halftime position, and heck, seems reasonable to me.
Madam Chair.
Representative Krieger.
Since we have him here, I want to get a clarification what this person might do. A rangeland specialist, the farmers, ranchers, 140 something we're speaking of, they have a lease agreement or allotment or can have, and do they have to develop a grazing plan that's approved, or do you supply that, or do they work with your agency?
Let me, there's a memorandum that I gave to you. I think it should have been distributed.
It's been distributed.
Okay. Under package 105, it talks about, I devote most of that to the rangeland position. We have the Division of State Land manages 638,000 acres of rangeland for forage purposes with 144 state leases. We're looking at this person doing day-to-day rangeland management duties, as well as planning out rangeland management plans, dealing with a lot of critical issues that are arising, that are there now on rangelands, such as threatened and endangered species issues. We're looking at possible listing of the sage grouse, water shortages issues. We don't have anyone devoted to rangeland issues. This is one where, based on the 70,000 animal unit months, AUMs, that are out there, that raises $2.5 million for the Common School Fund. I think we feel that that's critical, that we have someone that's devoted to being able to provide that support. I also understand that the Cattlemen's Association is in favor of having this position. Let me ask Steve if he can add to that, and then maybe also discuss.
Senator Farioli has a comment.
I'm sorry for the sidebar conversation, but the good senator from Svenson asked me a good question. She said, geez, 644,000 acres sounds like a lot for one person to manage. And it is. It's impossible for one person to manage 644,000 acres, but a halftime limited duration position would give them the opportunity to create a rangeland management plan and program for the department and start to educate landowners about the objectives and move forward into the next legislative session, or even possibly to rearrange the department priorities to do some of the work mentioned in the plan. And, you know, I think having the position gives the director the opportunity to move people and resources around within her budget. Not having a position is where we're going if we don't get this. So,
and I agree with you, Senator, that that I would be willing to accept an amendment to the LFO recommendation that would split the position. Senator Duke, you look like you want to say something.
Yeah, I have a concern. When we started out, at least with the waterway leasing position, which I think I understand, we're way behind, and we have inequitable rates, and we have people skating free. I got a call yesterday from a constituent who wants to finance his houseboat, but can't because, I mean, this is like a two-step process. He deals with DSL, and then he deals with DEQ, and everybody's backed up, and meanwhile, you know, the mortgage is sitting there, and he doesn't have it yet. So I know that we need somebody to deal with all of that and have for a long time. My thought when we were doing this was, give us a full-time person. I wanted them to be limited duration. Let's get caught up, and then let's see where they are at maintaining being caught up, because there aren't lots of new ones. We're just so far behind on the old ones that we need that. And then I'm listening to Senator Farioli and the huge needs that they have in his district. And I'm wondering, considering that this is not general fund money, and I know we want to be very, very careful of the common school fund money, but why don't we go back to their original request and give one of each and actually address both of the problems? Because if you only give me a halftime limited duration person for waterway leasing, they're going to be back asking for exactly the same thing again next session. And I suspect for Senator Farioli's problems that you're going to be in the same place. They'll have a plan, but nobody to enforce the plan. So,
okay. And I want to get the committee to weigh in on this. Representative Hansen.
Well, I tend to agree with our two Senate colleagues, or at least Senator Dukes, on the concept of the two positions. I think when we go with a half position for each function, I think we're kind of dividing the baby. And I think the rationalization that we were following on a full-time position to get caught up on the waterway leasing made sense, and there was potential for increased revenues and as well as getting rid of the backlog. I'm very concerned on the grazing issue. This generates $2.5 million for the Common School Fund, and not being able to deal with something like the grouse issue listing, which with some other state lands that when we were talking about that earlier in an interim committee, a lot of that work is involved in making sure that that correct censuses have been taken, having a being able to anyway, a listing could very well jeopardize the $2.5 million or part of it pretty easily, and I think yeah, we're cutting the amount that would be available to the Common School Fund, but I think we're risking. There's a potential that we may be risking a greater amount to the Common School Fund. So I think in terms of if we approve the two positions, limited duration, and then reviewed them next session and see whether those are still the concerns, reevaluate the waterway leasing position, see what's happening with rangeland issues. I think we might be erring on the side of caution, even though it's spending a little more money.
Okay.
But I'm a tax and spend liberal from the city.
Representative Krupp, could we have your opinion on this?
Well, Madam Chair, I will blindly go wherever you would like me to go.
I love that.
That's it.
Representative Lowe, do you feel comfortable that you have enough background to weigh in on this?
I apologize, Madam Chair. I have not tuned in today. I'm sorry.
And I don't want to put you on the spot. You know, you're kind of up to your toes in something that we're asking you to.
She's beyond her toes.
Kriebel, could you give us the benefit of your
Madam Chair,
on this?
I became aware of the problem. I think a lot of us weren't aware there was a problem. But when you look at the Common School Fund receiving $2.5 million, this is a good investment. As Representative Hansen said, we're dealing with ESA issues, water issues, the Oregon plan. Those lands are properly managed. They'll continue to give a return to us. If we ever kind of lose track of what's going on that land, we can be the ultimate losers, will be the schools.
Representative Nolan, could we have the benefit of your thoughts?
Madam Chair, I certainly concur with the notion that these two areas of expertise cannot easily be melded into the same human employee. And if we're going to hire two different people for these positions in order to help the agency do what it needs to do, I'm very sympathetic to the challenge of hiring professionally qualified people and offering them only half of a job. I think that makes it all the more difficult for the agency to find capable people who can deliver the results we want. And so I'd be supportive of Senator Duke's suggestion that we approve both positions, full, you know, 1.0 FTE in each budget classification on a limited term basis, make the agency demonstrate to us that they're delivering what they expect it to deliver, but give the agency director the benefit of the doubt and say we're going to hold you to it.
Representative Lowe, would you be willing to vote for something like that?
I'm very comfortable with that. It makes sense to me.
Representative Krupp?
I'm with you.
Okay.
He wants something. I haven't figured out what it is yet.
He's trying to tell us how we're supposed to be.
The chair will then direct the LFO staff to amend the LFO recommendation so that it includes a limited duration wetlands leasing person and a limited duration grazing checker outer.
That's a technical term.
Checker outer.
Put that in the job classification.
That is in the classification.
And I noticed that you've been tapping away on your calculator. Can you give us an idea of fiscally what we're letting ourselves in for here?
Well, Madam Chair, being ever prepared, I would recommend that an additional $115,000 be included in that package, $92,500 for personal services, which includes salary and benefits, and approximately $22,500 for S&S services and supplies, for a total of $115,000, and approve an additional limited duration NRS2 position. And include language in the budget note that would direct the agency to report on the performance of both positions to the next assembly. That would reduce on item F on page 4, you see a reduction of $270,615. That would change that number to a reduction of $115,615. And instead of.
115?
I'm sorry?
115 or 150?
155615, and it would change in the FAR column, instead of a reduction of 3 FTE from the package, a reduction of 2 FTE from the package.
Does that meet with the approval of the committee?
Madam Chairman, I appreciate the consideration. I'm just curious to know what it is that I'm going to have to come up with for Mr. Rocco for having made him do this.
Well, you're also on my list.
So, with Senator Dukes' motion, I might remind the chair.
Which means you owe me, too.
Well, now you know why I don't want to tell you.
Actually, what swayed me was Senator Ferrioli's speech on long-term relationships and commitment. And I was thinking I was watching an Oprah program.
I've never been afraid of commitment, Madam Chairman.
Or of being committed?
Exactly. No.
Let's proceed with the budget.
Madam Chair.
Or with the LFO recommendation.
Thank you very much.
Okay, Madam Chair, returning to page 5 of the memo and page 8 of the spreadsheet, item I, this was information systems GIS support and security package that LFO earlier recommended denial of and has not changed on that item.
I got a question about that one, though.
Please, Representative.
Thank you. I think that this was part of what was brought before the eGov committee that was part of the has this been heard by eGov?
Madam Chair, Representative Lowe, no, this agency has not been before that committee this session.
Is this going to make it tough for them to we have had some testimony on the GIS support and security issues, and just wondering if Chair Hill has had an opportunity to comment on this denial.
Madam Chair, Representative Lowe, this is one of those smaller item packages that I don't think has come to the purview of that committee because of the other larger issues they're dealing with.
Okay, I just wondered. Thank you.
Item J on page 5 is an LFO reduction package. This was a the reduction that agencies are being required to take of services and supplies. LFO had originally recommended that we look at, that the committee look at the list that the agency had provided on for reduction options. And if you recall, the selected the number one item on that list, which was budgeted overtime. After that occurred, the agency expressed their unhappiness with that kind of reduction because it would cause them some management problems with staff, and the committee directed us to go and find an equal but different reduction. And so in the shaded area you can see the results of that effort. The reduction amount is the same except for one change that we had to make late yesterday, but the reduction is still a total of $90,450, but instead of taking $40,000 from budgeted overtime, only $5,000 is being reduced from budgeted overtime, and the rest is being taken out of the non-fixed services and supplies categories, which includes various office expenses, travel, that kind of thing. In addition to this, we were directed to start reducing out-of-state travel in all agency budgets by 1%. And so in the bottom shaded sentence, you'll see we are reducing this budget by an additional $123 to accommodate that direction.
Questions or comments on this change?
Madam Chair.
Representative Nolan.
Just a brief comment. I hope that the Legislative Fiscal Office has notified the agencies that we're serious about the priorities of their cut proposals, and that maybe this has served as a lesson that other people can benefit from.
Madam Chair, Representative Nolan, I think agencies will in the future take those listings a little more seriously since it's come up in several cases.
Please proceed.
And that reduction, Madam Chair, you can see on the page 8 of the memo of the spreadsheet, under 001 LFO adjustment. The second adjustment was a federal funds expenditure limitation adjustment that was previously discussed and tentatively agreed to, which was just additional federal revenues. We're trying to match their projected revenues with expenditures, and again, any additional federal funds the agency receives can be brought forward to the emergency board. Item L is another adjustment package, and this is in relation to the new CARISA issue. We're recommending $50,000 of limitation be provided for the current biennium because of their need, the division's need to hire a consultant to review and respond to the recent decision on or recommendation. Consultant recommendation on leaving the New Carissa where it is. And in addition to their current biennial expenditures, they're going to need an additional $75,000 next biennium to deal with that. And it is possible, depending on the results of any litigation in this issue, that that money could be restored to the Common School Fund.
Comments?
Real quick about the New Carissa, Madam Chair. They're wanting to remove Coos County's biggest tourist attraction.
And the state of Oregon's biggest liability.
I have a question.
Interesting.
Representative Lowe.
But he's right.
It gives me pause as I'm looking through all these different budgets that every time we turn around, we're hiring a consultant. And I know we have a lot of good talent in this state for making an opinion or making a recommendation to the governor's office or whatever. Within our agencies, I mean, we don't hire idiots. We've got good people who can, we can come up with our own opinions. And I, for one, would like to register some concern that we are spending all this money on consultants when what they're really providing us is affirmation, not particularly expertise. Got to grow up and just, you know, start getting the job done with people that we've got. Save this money.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, and then on the memo, page 6, item M, is a budget note that was discussed earlier and tentatively approved regarding the state programmatic general permit and the under 404 permits. The final change to the Common School Fund program is under number 2, which is a non-limited category. We discussed earlier of the differences between LFO's recommended non-limited distribution of the Common School Fund for K through 12 schools because of changes in the status of the Common School Fund balance. Since then, I believe the Department of Administrative Services has agreed with that, and based on some more forecasts that have been done since the committee met last time, legislative revenue and DAS have come up with a new forecast that reduces the distribution by another $800,000. So the net distribution to schools is now, for the 01-03 biennium, is anticipated to be $31.2 million. Earlier, we had suggested it should be about $32 million. And that, again, this is a non-limited category, so the distribution will be what the distribution will be, regardless of the language or the numbers put in the budget, because this is just the best guess that we have at this time.
Comments? Representative Nolan.
Just remind me, Mr. Rocco, or perhaps Ms. Hannes, what's the corpus on which that $31 million is
calculated?
$783 million as of the end of December. Today, I don't know, depending on the stock market. And that's a combination of physical assets, land assets, as well as financial assets. Madam Chair, Representative Nolan, no, that's only for the financial record. That's just the financial director. For the record, my name is Ann Hannes, Director, Division of State Lands. That's only what's invested in stocks and bonds and other financial instruments.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Well, Madam Chair, I might make comment that today the market turned a huge corner as the Fed cut interest rates a half a point. We were up 400 points at close. So,
Sell!
Everybody made money today.
Tomorrow, whoever's left us.
Mr. Rocco, please proceed, unless everybody wants to go out and call their stock brokers right away.
So, Madam Chair, with those...
yeah, the dot-coms came back nicely today.
With the adjustment that the committee made to package 105, on the spreadsheet page 8, At the very bottom, you'll see a shaded area, which is results of all these recommendations. And if you want to get up to date, then that number, other funds under the LFO recommended column of $11,615,751 should be $11,730,751. And if you go farther to the right, where there's a reduction of four FTE, that reduction should only be three. And the LFO recommended FTE should be 68.5 rather than 67.5. The next program of the agency is the Oregon Wetlands Revolving Fund. This is originally LFO had recommended approval of the governor's recommended amount of $200,000. Since that time, the agency has shown some ability to have additional projects in online and ready to be approved. Typically, this program has come to the emergency board as projects are developed. And last interim, for example, they came to the emergency board and received an increase in limitation of $600,000. And the emergency board has been doing this just to keep monitoring what kinds of projects are being developed. We're recommending now that, since some projects have already been identified, that this be increased by $150,000 to a total of $350,000, which will give them some time before the first emergency board meeting to get projects underway. This money is dedicated to wetlands revolving fund activities, so there's no other use that it can be made of. It can only be used for projects.
Can I ask a question?
Representative Lowe.
This is projects to improve existing or rehabilitate existing wetlands and not acquisition.
I believe that's correct. It's basically a mitigation thing where and in cases where individuals cannot want to develop and cannot on a wetland and cannot maintain cannot provide equal wetland area, they can pay into this fund, and then the fund is used to create wetlands or to enhance wetlands in this as close to that area as possible.
Please proceed.
Madam Chair, the Natural Heritage Program is the next program. There are no changes to what was earlier discussed in this program. There's a reduction, a slight reduction for state government service charges and the Attorney General rate. There is a reduction package for part of the reduction efforts of taking a certain percentage of SNS as directed by the co-chairs. And then there's a budget note that the committee discussed earlier talking about the transition of the Natural Heritage Database from its current contractor, which is the Nature Conservancy, to a new provider, which is likely to be Oregon State University. There's also an issue here that if that occurs, the program may need some additional funding to accommodate that, and I think those details would have to be worked out either on an add-back list or with state system of higher education. The next program is the South SLU Reserve. This is on the bottom of page 7, number 5. The first several items in this have not been changed from earlier recommendations. There's a PERS employer rate contribution reduction. There's the typical state government service charge reduction that all programs are incurring. There was an additional reclassification package in the agency for this program. And again, this one was initially recommended for denial pending review by the Department of Administrative Services. And I believe on the memo that you have regarding the reclassification review. The one of the positions in that package was recommended not to be reclassed, the office manager position, I believe. So based on that, we're recommending maintaining our recommendation of denying that package. Package under on page 8D is package 108. This is a position for public information volunteer coordinator position at the South SLU. We had initially recommended denial of this position because it was a split funded position between common school funds and federal funds. Based on additional information that the agency has provided regarding their fiscal year 2001 grant from NOAA, which went up over previous appropriations from the federal government, there is additional money available to the South SLU. And that puts the put legislative fiscal in a bit of a bind because we have felt this program has been slightly out of control in its expenditure patterns over the past several years, and we're trying to address that by providing them with a one-year budget in this recommended budget. In order to deal with that, we've tried to accommodate some of those additional funds, but again, only for 1 year. So what we're recommending now is, based on this additional grant money, is to approve the position that was requested, but only with federal funds, and removing all state match out of that program. So it would be a $50,000 of federal funds limitation approved, and one position at a 0.5 FTE, so it would be a full-time position for 1 year. And we're recommending that this position be included in the program's report to the emergency board to get second year funding. And you can see those changes on page 13 of the spreadsheet.
Are there questions or comments on this change?
Madam Chair?
Senator Dukes.
Exactly what does this position do?
Mr. Ruffin.
Madam Chair, Senator Dukes,
Well, he's not so slow anyway, so what do you want?
Do you have the information, or do we need to bring the agency forward?
The agency would probably be better, but it's my understanding this position would be used as a to coordinate volunteer services at the South SLU, where they have a number of people coming to help, and they need somebody to help coordinate and consolidate those kinds of activities. And again, it would be totally federally funded.
For the record, my name is Ann Hannes, Director, Division of State Lands. This is a position that has been in the South SLU's strategic plan, and at our last commission meeting was unanimously and very strongly supported by the South SLU Commission. It's one that would work with volunteers. It would work on forming partnerships and cooperative programs with local entities. It would try to also work on initiatives with NOAA that are aimed at the South SLU. So it's one to try to pull together the volunteer efforts to also work cooperatively with local efforts as well. It's one that they feel that with the South SLU there and the opportunities it has to provide benefits to the local community and to recognize the support of the volunteers, it'd be a very important position for them to have.
You okay with that, Senator Dukes?
Yeah, I guess
okay.
So.
Next time, next budget, you'll get to see them full time and reclassed up higher.
Well, I know that I was, and I think other members of the committee expressed concern about the apparent disorganization of this whole program. And so we're trying to, by putting them on essentially a one-year budget, making them come back at the end of the year and show us exactly what they've done in relation to what we gave them permission to do, and then on the proceed with the second year's budget on the basis of their performance.
That's a great idea.
In the first year. Representative Hayden.
Where do you find one-year staffing? Do you go to Western Temporary, or what do you do? Where do you find somebody for 1 year that's good?
Chair Morgan, Representative Hayden, what is our understanding is that in order to have tighter controls over South SLU, and we recognize the concerns that have been expressed here, we hear them very loud and clear, we will have a one-year budget and then come back and report to the emergency board and ask for the second year's budget, showing that we have improved controls over South SLU from a financial standpoint. We will be providing quarterly reports to LFO and DAS, and Jeanette Holman is going to be coming down, for example, tomorrow with me to the South SLU Commission meeting, along with Cindy Vermilia, our financial manager, to meet with South SLU and walk through with them steps that they need to take. I've already sent out a strongly worded memorandum outlining the procedures that I expect them to follow over the next, from here on.
Madam Chair. So you recruit on the basis that it's really a lifetime job. You're not hiring for 1 year. You're hiring for an extended period of time.
We will recruit on the basis, and we will have to have full disclosure with whoever we hire, saying that this the legislature has funded this for 1 year, and we are, need to demonstrate that we're doing a good job to come back for the second year's funding.
Madam Chair, will the second year's funding or the years thereafter be federal funds also, or will they, as one senator asked, be general funds?
Madam Chair, Representative Hayden, we would only fund this if we had the federal dollars.
Thank you.
There are no state dollars in the position, so if the federal dollars become unavailable, And any more questions?
No, ma'am.
Please proceed.
Madam Chair, then item E is the budget note that describes what Ms. Hannes was just talking about, quarterly reports that was discussed previously. Item F is an adjustment package that does the one-year budget and splits basically the CSL into two pieces for the first year and the second year, and there is an adjustment to that in a later package that I'll talk to you about in a minute. Item G is a capital improvement carry forward. One of the things that the committee talked about earlier and recommended by LFO is to split this program into two pieces, into operations and capital improvement. A lot of the difficulties we've had with the program is in getting a handle on their capital improvement projects. This carry forward money, in the earlier projections we had, there was only $42,000 identified for other funds carry forward. It's come to our attention there's an additional $60,000 that the Friends of South SLU have donated or committed to donating to the program, and so we're recommending adding that limitation in, and this is all related to the projects ongoing at the South SLU to improve facilities at that location.
Are there any questions on changing the adjustment package in Section G? Let's proceed.
And then on page 9 of the memo, item H, this is the an additional packet, LFO adjustment package, that the committee has not seen before, and this is due to that increased operating grant. And it describes there that after the budget was developed, the agency learned that their operating grant from the federal government was going to be higher. What we're recommending here is, in addition to that operating grant, there were other grants that they made known to LFO after the governor's budget was developed. Some of these, we're recommending then that the amounts of these grants be basically split in half, and that that three limited duration positions be approved, two full-time, one half-time. And since we're doing it for 1 year, it would be a net of 1.25 FTE. A couple of these positions have been on board at the South SLU for some years. I think there's a list here, the Natural Resource Specialist 2, which is the system-wide monitoring program coordinator, and a public information rep one position are each being recommended to be continued for 1 year at 0.5 FTE. And then in the second paragraph, you can see the source of the other funds revenue, which is a grant that the agency receives through the University of Washington for oyster research. And again, this is an ongoing grant that was just not included in the budget as recommended by the governor. And in this case, we're recommending that this position be continued for 1 year. And it's a half-time position, so it would be 1 year half-time, which is 0.25 FTE. And again, these all of these positions are funded by federal funds or non-common school other funds. So this package would increase the other funds limitation by, in their operations program, by 32,185 other funds and by $85,757 federal funds. And you can see those on page 14 of the spreadsheet under package 007, increased operating grant.
Are there any questions in the increased grant and the increased limited duration FTEs?
And Madam Chair, we're also recommending that these be also included in that accountability report to the emergency board for continuation.
Please proceed.
At the bottom of page 9 in the memo, item I is a the budget note discussing the review process for grant approvals. Just as a reminder to the program, that was tentatively approved by the committee earlier. And on the page 10, the last program of the agency is the capital improvement program, which is basically facility maintenance activities. And as earlier discussed and tentatively agreed by the committee, there's a reduction of $9,150 other funds in that program. And that you can see on page 15 of the spreadsheet, the results of that. Madam Chair, with those changes then, the number 7 on page 10 of the memo describes the amendments that would need to be made to House Bill 5024. Item 7C, which is the Common School Fund programs, needs to now be adjusted from $11,615,751 to $11,730,751. And you'll note on item H that there is a section being added to the bill to provide additional limitation for the current biennium due to the new CARISA issue. And that you can see that on the Hand and Gross version of the bill that was provided also.
Questions or comments on the entire package? Senator Ferrioli.
Madam Chairman, for the entire time that I've been a seated senator in the legislature, I've wanted the Division of State Lands to take a more reasoned approach to the issue of navigability. And the latest shot across the bow in navigability is that the division has been instructed by the State Land Board to compromise its position in adjudicating navigability issues on a river-by-river basis. And they have, in fact, pled through the Attorney General's office for the court to make a decision that would, in fact, render all submerged lands state property by the decision that by decision of the court, which is essentially apply navigability standards to almost all waters of the state. And I think folks ought to be aware that the Department of or the Division of State Lands really should not have an opinion about navigability. It should adjudicate navigability based on the facts on a case-by-case basis. That is the charge of the legislature. That is the legislature's instruction to the agency. To have the agency put in a position of having its attorney plead on a trespass case that the division can no longer adjudicate those issues, or the legislature's failed to resolve the issues, and therefore default the whole series of issues to the court for one decision that would in fact render all of the rivers in Oregon to be declared navigable, is an abdication of the Division of State Lands responsibility and an abdication of its charge to the state legislature, from the state legislature, to do this adjudication on a river by river basis. I think it's actually a violation of the Separation of Powers Act, because if the Division of State Lands feels that it cannot adequately discharge the duties given it by the state legislature, it should report back to the state legislature that it is incapable of completing its mission and allow the legislature to reallocate the job, increase the resources, or redefine what it is that we expect. I don't believe it should be given the opportunity to take a charge from the legislature on a case-by-case determination of navigability, and failing to be able to accomplish that goal, go to another branch of government for a solution. I think it should come back to the legislature, bring that case. So I just wanted to put that on the record. I strenuously disagree with the pleadings that have represented the Division of State Lands. I believe that the State Land Board has overstepped its authority by requesting its the division to make its pleadings in the trespass case that happened up on the John Day River. And I just wanted on the record that navigability is to be determined on a case-by-case basis by the Division of State Lands. And if the agency is incapable of doing that, then it has a responsibility to come back to the legislature and discuss that in a substantive hearing and get new direction.
Thank you, Senator. Those are important comments to have on the record.
Madam Chair.
Representative Hayden.
Please allow me to comment very briefly on that subject. I, too, feel it unconscionable for the state to seize property under the pretext of navigability. Navigability was originally a river that a sizable vessel could negotiate. Then it was what a raft could float down, and then what a log raft could float down, and then what a salmon could negotiate. And soon it will be anything wet that moves. And that's not right. That is a taking. That should not happen.
Thank you. The if there are no further comments on the budget bill, I will close the public hearing and open a work session, and the chair will accept a motion to accept the LFO recommendation as amended.
Madam Chairman,
Senator Ferriero,
so moved.
To be sent to the full Ways and Means.
With a due pass recommendation by some incredibly lucky carrier that sits on the Ways and Means. Madam Chairman.
Is there any discussion on the motion? Is there any objection to the motion? Without objection, the motion is passed. Senator Ferrioli, I would ask that you would carry this both on the Senate side and in the full committee.
I will, ma'am.
And Representative Hayden, would you carry this on the House side?
I will.
Thank you very much. Mr. Rocco, do we have any announcements?
No, Madam Chair, except tomorrow, Department of Land Conservation and Development is scheduled for a hearing and work session.
And needless to say, we would very much appreciate Senate presence.
Senate President will be here tomorrow.
He's coming.
And having one. No further business before the committee, the meeting is adjourned.
Senator, I agree.
How have we resolved the coastal zone management money?